If you have your Bibles, let's open them to the book of Judges, if you will. The book of Judges, chapter number 13. We've been in Judges on Sunday nights. We'll just about finish it up this morning. And so Judges, chapter number 13. Judges, chapter number 13. A good day so far. Already? Good day? All right. Good. Good. All right. Judges, chapter 13. And let's look down here. And I was going to have some music recorded, and it kind of goes like this. Some of you old timers would remember it. Doodle-doo, doo-doo-doo, doodle-doo, doo-doo-doo. Anyway, that's about it. And so that's the tune to some old ancient movie called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. So we're talking about some people you've dated a long time ago. All three of them. No, I'm just kidding. But so I'm going to speak on this morning a man in the book of Judges, the good, then the bad, and then the ugly. Amen. And you can choose what you want there. So notice here in Judges chapter 13, there's still a bit ring, fellas. If we can kind of get that resolved quickly, that'd be great. Here's where we will start, looking down here in Judges 13 and verse 24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. Get that? Samson? Oh, brother. If it's a girl, it'd have been Sam daughter. Okay. Okay. So the woman bare a son and his name was Samson. By the way, that name means bright or light. Maybe his nickname was Sunny Boy. I don't know. But somehow he was such a bright spot to their lives. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of thy word. I pray you'd help us as we look at this life and learn from it. You don't put people's lives, the good and the bad in the Bible, just to entertain us or take up space. It's there to help us. Help us learn not the hard way or learn from experience, but learn from other people's experiences. Pray you'd meet with us today and help us. A lot of different needs, a lot of stuff on our minds. Some it's bills, others personal issues, others it's emotional battles. For some it's housing, others it's pain, rejection, emotional, spiritual, all sorts of things. Lord, only you can take one short message and give everyone something. So we ask that you do that in Jesus' name. Amen. He is called the strongest man that ever lived, and we're talking about physically. His name is Samson. One day, he got angry at the enemies and picked up the city gates, picked them up and carried them to a hill and put them there. Another time, he was in a battle, not an MMA battle in one cage, but he fought 1,000 men single-handedly. Picked up the jawbone of a donkey, and that was his weapon. Killed 1,000 men by himself. He's the one that when they tied him up as a prisoner with all these ropes, he just broke the ropes like they were flax that had melted. He's the one that put his hands on the two major pillars of a temple, pushed and broke the pillars, causing the temple to come down. I would say he was a pretty strong man. His background, he lived in the days of the judges. This was a time when God had judged the nation of Israel. Much like America, they had turned their back on the word of God. They decided to do their own thing. When God spoke, they did not listen. And the key verse is this. It says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There is a difference. That which is right, and that's which was right in our own eyes. Amen. And that's how they lived. In other words, their philosophy was, if it feels good, do it. If it feels good to me, doesn't matter how it hurts anybody else, I am all that matters. And so that was the theme of this book of Judges. The Philistines, God had removed his hand of protection, and the Philistines, an enemy nation, had taken over the nation of Israel. It was a sad day. The temple was not being used. God was not being glorified. A lot of chaos was going on. So what did he do? In his mercy, he sent what we call a deliverer or a judge to help get the people out of this sad time. And in our lives, maybe you've seen it in your life, you've gone into captivity where you've had dark times and dark valleys. Maybe God sent a Bible verse, or God sent a sermon, or God sent a friend, or God sent something or someone to help you realize, like the song said, he still loves you and he still cares. And so that's what this book is about. He sends this deliverer named Samson. Now, if you have your Bible, I'm going to read a few verses. If not, we'll go kind of fast. I'm going to look first at how it began, the good. In chapter 13, in verse number 3, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son." Verse 5, "Lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God." In other words, God had a special plan for him from the womb. "And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines," in verse 8. And so when the mother of Samson hears she's going to have this child, an angel appears, announces it. Verse 8, "Then Manoah," that's her husband, "entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." So they were teachable. He says, we don't know how to raise kids. This will be our first one, by the way. How many of you were the firstborn child of your parents? Would you slip your hand up? They experimented on you. You're the ones that got all the whoopings, huh? Yeah, you got caught for everything. No, no, no. Whack, whack, whack. And then how many of you are the caboose? You're the last child. Last child. You spoil ones. Yeah. Spoil ones. You got away with murder. You deserved it. And your paddle had a pillow on it. So when they paddled you, it wouldn't hurt. And you got to do whatever you wanted to. So here's Samson. His parents say, we don't know how to raise this child. Would you instruct us? Would you teach us how? There's no books out to read. And then we see in verse number 17, and it says, "And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? And when thy sayings come to pass, that we may do thee honor." He wanted to honor this angel that came and announced this good news. Verse 24, "And the woman bare a son and called him Samson." So we see the good here. Samson had a godly heritage. He had parents that loved God. He had parents that wanted to do right. He had parents that were teachable. The angel instructed them what to do. He would be a Nazarite. That simply meant kind of a strange set of rules. He couldn't cut his hair, couldn't eat anything from a vine, grapes, raisins, anything. For some reason, God said, you'll be a special person, and that's part of it. People will see the seven ponytails coming out of your hair. They'll know you're a Nazarite, a special job for God. So he had a great upbringing. He had great potential. Angel announced his birth. God says, I've got something special for you. Potential. By the way, that's what everyone has in this room right now. We do not know who is really in this room. We don't know who's in the kids' Sunday school classes today. Could be the next president. Could be the next prime minister. Could be some great inventor. It could be some great evangelist. We don't know. But I know this, we all have potential. Years ago, we put out a board game, much like Yahtzee or Monopoly or Life, one of those board games. We put it out 40 years ago. It was called Spiritual Pursuit. You heard the other game, Trivial Pursuit. Well, this was Spiritual Pursuit. Every space was a book of the Bible. They had cards. They had promise cards, trial cards. But at the beginning of the game, you got a potential card. And it was face down. Potential. 5 crowns, 10 crowns, 3 crowns. And the goal was to get to heaven, finish the game, and then, only then were you allowed to flip over your potential card. So you may have won 10 crowns, but if your potential said 12, you didn't win. See, it's not how you're compared to someone else. It's did you reach what God made you to be? If you become a billionaire and that's not what God planned, you did not fulfill the reason you were made. So Samson had great, great potential. And it does say one other good thing about him, that he did rule or judge Israel for 20 years. It didn't say much about it, but he made decisions for his nation. People came to him. We all have this potential. Now, Samson ends up becoming the greatest failure in the Bible. The greatest failure. How did this happen? It ought to be a stern warning to all of us, because he became a very unhappy man. Now, when you're the strongest man in the world, and I battle this myself, I personally do not believe he was ripped, because we know his strength came from God. So it wasn't like he did 7,000 push-ups and curled 900 pounds. It wasn't his workout routine at the club. His strength came from God. When he did something great, people said, "How'd you do that?" I think he just looked like a normal guy. I don't think he had this kind of figure and big biceps. I think it was all God. Amen. And so, but somehow, he was a very unhappy man. It kind of reminds me of the lives we read about on the newspaper and the television, the lives of the rich and famous, the ones that the paparazzi chases just to get a picture of, those who have entitlements and those who are filled with pride. You say, "Well, Pastor, how did Samson fail?" It's all about relationships. Samson's one of the few people in the Bible where it mentions almost every possible relationship a person could have. And I want to look at these just quickly for a few moments. Number one, his relationship with God. His relationship with God. That's the greatest relationship any person can ever have. Amen. The greatest one. It all starts there. If you've heard of the Ten Commandments, it was on two tables of stone. I always figure five on one, five on the other, five plus five, carry the one. If you're from Oregon, they've now dropped math and they've lowered the standard. So you don't have to know math, but no, it was four and six. The first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not make a graven image or bow down to it. Keep the Sabbath day holy. So God says, you get these right. That's what I want you to work on, a relationship with me. By the way, it all starts at the cross. That's where it all starts. As a little child, you look up, you see the stars and the sun and the moon, and you say, someone made this. He is creator at that time in your life. Someone made these beautiful things. But you can't stop there. He's got to become your Savior. Sooner or later, you've got to believe that Jesus took on a human body. God himself was born in Bethlehem, lived 33 sinless years, never sinned. He taught, raised the dead, preached the Bible. He lived so he could feel how we feel. Age 33, was crucified, died on the cross, was buried, rose again, paid for our sins. You've got to accept him as your Savior. That's where life begins. Amen. You've heard of AD and BC. BC is before Christ. All of us, before we got saved, it was before Christ. The life was unfulfilled. There was no real joy, no real purpose. I saw a man this week. It was a long story. Anyway, I met him, and we were out in the wilderness, and he said, "You know," he said, "I've never told anybody this. I've contemplated for a long time suicide." He said, "I've not been to church. I don't know anything about God. I don't know anything about the Bible. Life is so confusing." And it sure is. But that confusion turns into purpose when you realize he made you. He designed you. He loves you. He died for you. He rose again. He's got a purpose for you. He's building a mansion for you. It's all about you. Where even in his name, J-E-S-U-S, us. Hey, how you like that? Okay. I don't get it. Okay. How about this? J-E-S-U. Okay, so you are in his name. How about that? It's our relationship with God. The last six commandments, honor your father and your mother, no adultery, no stealing, no murder, no coveting. and so forth. Say, if you get these right, these will be right.
Yes, sir,
amen. A psychiatrist always works on these. So you're not getting along with your mate, huh? You don't like yourself, huh? God says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first commandment. You got 10 fingers, you got 2 big ones. Boy, this is deep, isn't it? 10, and you got 2 big ones. The big command, love God with all your heart. Second big command, love your neighbor as yourself. First 4, deal with our relationship with God. Last 6, always deal with our relationship with people. You work on these don't work. You work on this one, and these will take care of themselves. So we see, Samson prays 2 times in the whole history of the Bible. One time he gets thirsty, says, I need something to drink. God gives him something to drink. Second time, give me strength to have vengeance on my enemies. 2 times he prayed. No altar, never spent time in the Word of God, never got around the man of God, never got around the people of God. His whole life was without God.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And if all fails, you've got to read the directions. This book is the guide. This is the book in the glove box of the car. Something's wrong with your car, you pull out the blue book and figure out, oh, I see how the car is made. This is the book of life.
Amen.
It tells us how to live. And you want to read it now, not just in emergencies. Build your life on this book. It'll help you with the relationships of life. We must hasten. We're running out of time. Number 1, he had the wrong relationship with God. All of his battles were personal battles. Samson never fought God's battles. By the way, if all your battles, it's always about you or messes that you have made, then your life is going to be all surface and all pointed about you. But if you get past those and whip those battles, you can do some battles for God, like winning a soul, like getting someone ready for heaven, like counseling someone and helping someone get through their problems, or raising a child for God, or teaching a class and directing people in their life. Something that's going to matter for eternity. He became the wrong crowd. Samson never got around the wrong crowd because he was the wrong crowd. He was constantly bringing others down, including them in his path of destruction. Number 1, you say, this is negative. Well, we're not talking about you. We're talking about him. It's all right. As long as we're bashing somebody else, that's all that matters. Number 2, he was wrong with his parents. In chapter number 14, listen to this. Verse 1, and Samson went down. That's the first statement about his life. He went down. Where? To Timnath, a Philistine city. And saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Therefore, get her for me for wife. He comes home and says, give me that woman for a wife. Pay the dowry. I know it's going to cost some. Hey, mom and dad, get her for me. He was a taker. Told his parents what to do. Then his father and mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine? They're the enemies. And Samson said to his father, get her for me. She pleaseth me well. He had never even spoken to the girl. He just saw her in a crowd and said, that's who I want to marry. He's got some problems.
Amen.
He's got some problems. I'll say more about that in just a second. He had a wrong relationship with his parents. Verse 5 through 7. Then Samson went down. Notice the times. And his father and his mother to Timnath came to the vineyards. And a lion roared against him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he rent him. He took the lion as he would have rent a kid or a goat. He had nothing in his hand. He killed a lion with his bare hands. And he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman. Look at this kid. He now kills a lion. He's so strong. Now he's talking to the woman. He sees her. Now he's talking to her. Let me just say this, parents. Be careful where you let your kids go.
Amen.
Because wherever they go, they're going to see some people there. And whoever they see, they're going to talk to. If you don't want those people to be your son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, you better guard where your kids go, who they talk to on the phone, on social media. You say, boy, that sure is demanding. Well, you may be rearing your own grandkids one day.
That's right. Amen.
You got to be careful. So now, Samson's just, man, he's not praying. He's not asking God. He's telling his parents what to do. And let's keep going. Verse 8 and 9. And after a time, he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees of honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother and gave them. And they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Okay, let's find out. Who has ever seen roadkill on the highway? You know what I'm talking about? A dead deer, dead rabbit, dead possum, something dead on the roadside. Okay, Samson kills this lion. It's laying there long enough for a hive of bees to eventually get inside the carcass. And now they've made honey. Samson comes to the dead lion, pulls out a scoop of honey. He eats it and now gives it to his parents to eat. He has given roadkill to his parents and didn't tell them where he got it. You're pretty low down when you give some dead animal and cook it up, give it to your parents. You got some issue. You got a little vendetta against them. So it said, and he told not his parents. And let me say this. Anytime a young person's got secrets from mom and dad, you're on the road to destruction. When you're done and you're doing some things and going some places and covering your tracks. Here's Samson. He told not his parents. He told not his parents. Let me ask you, teenagers, is there something you should have told your parents that you've never told them? Is it something you told them that was not true? Here's Samson. He's wrong with his parents. He's disrespected them. He's given them this food he shouldn't. He's rude. He's mouthy. He's deceitful. He's not honoring. I met someone recently and we were talking a little bit. And he said, I'm just going to be honest with you, Pastor. My wife left me a year ago. I said, all right, well, I still want to be an encouragement to you. He said, well, let me tell you why she left me. I said, well, if you want to. He said, it's me. I was a jerk. I was mean. I was unkind. We argued. We fought. I have a temper. I am proud. And now she won't answer my phone calls. Can't see my kids. She's been gone a year. He says, it'll probably never work out. He said, and the sad thing is, it was me. I can say this right now. It was Samson. He had godly parents. He should have been a whole lot different than he was. He had a wrong relationship with God. He had a wrong relationship with his parents. Number three, he had a wrong relationship with the opposite gender. Look at this. He went down, chapter 14, verse 2. Saw a woman. He saw her. It said, I have seen her. Get her for me. Let me encourage you young people and single people here today. Marriage is more than seeing someone's picture and saying, that's the one.
Amen.
If all you have to offer is just the physical, the marriage will not last long. Because there's going to be someone more buff, more pretty, more attractive to compete with you. And that's why it's so important. A person gets this book in their heart, so it's their spirit that attracts someone. It's their intellect. It's their mind. It's their attitude. It's their personality. It ought to be a whole lot more than just the body. The older you get, and I'm just predicting, that guy, he's sharp, he's buff, he's 30, he's 25, wait till he's 50. That chest is going to fall into his belly. He's going to have the Dunlap disease, his belly Dunlapped over his belt. He's going to be like the guy that steps on the scales and goes, oh, looks down at the numbers, and his wife says, that don't help. He goes, no, I can see the numbers now. And the hair's going to fall out. The teeth are going to fall out. Hey, give him to 80. He ain't going to look the same. She's going to have veins very close together. That's why they call them very close veins. Pastor, you're racking on old people. I are one. Then we see in verse 16 and 17, and Samson's wife wept. He finally marries this girl, heathen girl, before him and said, thou dost hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle. So now Samson is betting. Now he is betting. And he's trying to win some new clothes. The wife he's got is crying. And she's saying, "You won't tell me. You won't tell me." And what's he say? What's he say in verse 17? And she wept before him 7 days. And finally, he told her the riddle. So now she is, he said, "I can't tell this riddle." And she's cried enough. And now he's got a wrong relationship. 15, 1 and 6. But it came to pass. Now Samson leaves for a season. He gets mad and leaves. "She found out my secret and I lost the bet." So he's angry, leaves his wife. After a season, probably months, 3 to 6 months, he said, "I'm going home now. I'm in a romantic mood. I'm married. Where's my wife?" He said, "I will go into my wife, into the chamber." He had a playboy attitude. "It's all about me. It's all about the bedroom. It's all about my feelings. It's all about me being fulfilled." That's not what real marriage is. Young people, let me just encourage you and singles that are listening online. The house has more rooms than one, the bedroom. There is a kitchen.
Amen. Amen.
There is the kitchen.
Amen.
There's the dining room. There's the living room. There's a lot of rooms there. Okay, this isn't going very far. 15 and verse number 6. Samson gets angry. He does some things to the enemies. And they said, "Why did he do this?" His wife made him mad. 15:6 says, "They took her and her father and burned them alive." So now because of Samson's wrong with the opposite gender, now a girl has been burned alive. He's not right with the opposite gender. Then look down in 16:1. "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot or a prostitute. Went into her." 16:4. "Came to pass that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek named Delilah." So here's Samson. The guy's just out of control. So he finally marries this girl because of she's good looking. He throws her away. So now he's with a prostitute. That doesn't satisfy him. So now he meets Delilah, the prostitute, and she's not going to satisfy him. Hey, now, let me just say this. Men, we've got to control our eyes. We've got to control our passions. We cannot be woman to woman to woman to woman to woman to woman to woman and then put the ring on and expect all those desires to be gone. If you cannot control your passions while you're unmarried, you will not control them with the wedding ring on your hand. The Bible says, keep thyself pure. That's a command. You say, "Pastor, with the internet, with all the immorality, everyone's doing it, everyone's immoral, everyone that's in the newspaper, it seems like, just about everyone that's got a lot of money, it seems like. Well, the baby's mother's coming over here, but I'm with so-and-so now." And it's this playboy philosophy. Man, God's goal is one man, if you're supposed to marry, with one woman for one lifetime. It's not the playboy. Well, the goal is to have as many women as you can and live it up. Yeah, live it up with guilt. Live it up with a poor example. Live it up with illegitimate kids scattered all over. Live it up with rejection. Live it up with not being able to tell your kids, "Do as daddy did. Do as mama did." We set the example. It is still not a miracle for someone to walk down the aisle to get married in white. It is not a miracle. It is possible.
Amen.
It'll be hard. It'll be hard. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to guard yourself. You're going to have to guard your phone, guard the television, guard your music, guard your friends, guard the parties. You're going to have to be on guard all the time. How come? You want a happily ever after marriage.
Amen.
He was wrong with the opposite gender. There's a difference in lust and love. Most of Hollywood movies, they should say, "I lust you. I lust you. I lust you not. I lust you. I lust you not." What's the difference in lust and love? Lust diminishes. Love increases. Lust is temporal. Love is eternal. Lust says, "Hurry up quick." Love says, "Take your time." Lust says, "I want your body." Love says, "I want your spirit." Love is selfish. Lust is selfish. Love is selfish. Oh, brother. Lust is by emotions. Love is by principles. Be careful your words.
Amen.
To people that are not your mate.
Amen.
Be careful your eyes. Be careful the places. There was a Christian girl in a public school years ago, and all the girls in class were laughing at her because she was still a virgin. They were laughing, talking about who they had slept with and what football player and what popular guy. And they were saying, look at you, no one wants you. And they were laughing at her before class. She finally had enough up to here. She stood up. It was just girls in the class. She goes, hey, girls, I can be like you anytime I want to be. But you can never again be like me. Heard about a guy at a real swanky restaurant where liquor's flowing. By the way, when you drink liquor, let me just say this. Your inhibitions drop. Your ability to stay morally pure decreases. You want to always be in control of your body and your thoughts and your functions. Just a side note there. So a guy was at this party. He's sitting by a very attractive woman. Was not his date. She was just there. She had one of those long filter tips that takes 0.2% of the cancer out of the cigarette. She had a martini glass with a little cherry in it. She's drinking, smoking. Music's playing. He looks over and he says, ma'am, would you go to bed with me for $5,000? She looks, grins a little bit, doesn't blush. $5,000. I believe I would. Didn't even know her name. A few moments later, he says, ma'am, would you go to bed with me for $5? Slams her drink down, puts a cigarette down. $5? Just what do you think I am anyway? He said, ma'am, we have already established what you are. We are now just bargaining for a price. Hey, fellas and girls, don't have a price! Don't have a price! Well, he's so handsome, if I don't get him, someone else will. Let them have him! Just a thought. Men, if you can't control your eyes now, when she's around, you sure won't control them when she's not around. Quickly, he was wrong with his friends. Look down in 14 verse 20. It says, but Samson's wife was given to his companion, what a statement, whom he had used as his friend. He had just used him. Samson never had a friendship like David and Jonathan. Because Samson wasn't a friend. That's why he never had friends. He wasn't friendly. And it was always about him. He would have been the one that had counted how many friends were on his account on social media. But he never was a friend. Quickly, and then we're done. Samson had a wrong relationship with himself. The Bible says some sins are against God. Some sins we sin against others. Some sins we sin against ourselves. He was betting. He was a gambler. He had anger. We can read the scriptures later. He was a liar. He was lazy. It never mentions one time he ever had employment. He was immoral. Samson was just a young man that was out of control. And he had so much potential. I'll end with this. Notice down in chapter number 16, if you have your Bible still open, and I'm done. And Samson took hold, verse 29, of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, the one with his right hand, the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead that he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. Now, stop there and we're done. So here's Samson. Hang on, ladies, don't put your shoes on yet. Hang on. Say, how do you know? We know. No, I'm just... So here's Samson. You study the lives of great people in the Old Testament. When Abraham died, I think the people mourned for him for 40 days. They stopped and wept 40 days. When Moses died, same thing. They mourned 40 days. Samson, a judge 20 years in Israel, had all these wrong relationships. Knocks the temple down, kills 3,000, kills himself at the same time. And nobody wept.
Wow.
Just said his family came, got his body, and buried him. No one missed him. That says a lot right there. Says a lot. How come? Because his whole life was all about him. Even at his death, he said, Lord, here's all the enemies on the roof of the building. Be avenged. Get vengeance because they put out my two eyes. It never was about God's battles. It was always about Samson. You know, that doesn't have to be us. Everything Samson did, we just need to do the opposite of. If he had had a walk with the Lord, imagine what he could have done. The young people could have got around. He could have, Samson, how'd you do that? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He could have, that would have been his life's verse. And he could have taught a Sunday school class and run a chariot route and preach the Word of God. The greatest failure, but he could have been the greatest success. Let me ask you a question. Were there any of those relationships we discussed today that are not working out for you? It all starts with this one.
Amen.
Daily Bible, daily prayer, getting to church, hearing the Word of God. That will help the marriage. That will help the opposite gender. That will help all the friendships. That will help all those things. And it's interesting. It says, and love your neighbor as yourself. So right there in the middle, you'll even... your esteem will even go up. God just takes care of all of it. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He wants to meet you today. He'll love you and take you just as you are. Forgive your sins, put you in His family, give you eternal life, and give you strength for all the relationships you'll ever have. I hope you'll accept Him. Heavenly Father, we ask Your blessings upon this time. Thank You for the Bible. Thank You for this great example to us of what we should not do. Pray You'd help us see the good, the bad, and the ugly, and make decisions accordingly. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.